think about bears in the house by the pool, when I'm driving, when I'm eating, when I'm walking with a knife, when I'm hiking, when I'm dancing, making love to my wife. Bears are scary, their claws are big, their teeth can cut through steel, and a diamond, and a pig, and a deer, and a fish, and a skull, and a man, and Christina Aguilera, Mexico, and Japan, and polar bear, grizzly bear, black bear, brown bear. Never put a bear on a chair, he'll break it. Never make love to a bear, he'll transmit STDs, poison face, cottage cheese between your knees. Never ever stare at a bear, he'll break your face. I don't care what kind of meat you carry, he'll eat it right before he grabs you with his monster bear strength and disembowels you in front of your family. A bear could easily kill Chuck Norris, but he likely won't, cause he's too busy eating fish. Yummy, yummy fish from the stream and river. Bears eat the fish cause it makes them even stronger. Bears will stare at you, don't you dare declare that the food you brought is yours, because it's bears that tear you a new one full of air and glare as they stare at your stupid human hair. Crunch, crunch, burp, fart, that's the sound of a bear eating you. Now you're pulled on the ground, and the bear is full, and the bear is content, and his massive grab is as hard as cement.
Hello and welcome to another Bring on the Cats podcast. That was the Bear Song, in case you were wondering. I'm Aaron Alley, and that was courtesy of Derek Smith, who's with us again. Derek, thanks for joining us.
No problem, man.
And tonight our guest is Peter Pope of Our Daily Bears, the Baylor blog on SB Nation. Peter, thanks for joining us.
Absolutely. It's my pleasure. How are you guys doing tonight?
Pretty good.
Doing well. Let's get right to it. I think most of us K-State fans are pretty scared of what's going to happen Saturday. You know, are Baylor fans feeling pretty confident going to this one?
You know, I think that there's probably a split in Baylor Nation on how they feel about this game. I think there are those who are feeling extremely confident in the way the team is playing. Well, I think everybody's feeling extremely confident in the way the team is playing right now. And I don't know how you can't. But I also think that there are those of us who remember the dark days and even remember what happened 2 years ago when we were flying high, things seemed to be going really strong, had every confidence in the world that we'd walk into Manhattan and walk out with victory. And then the fourth quarter of that game happened. And we were left sitting there going, what just happened? You know, and then a three-game skid got rattled off on us, and it was rough. So, you know, I personally am in that camp. I'm kind of I'm confident, but I'm nervous because it's going on the road for the first time. We've been at home. You know, we had the largest crowd for an out-of-state game last weekend. An out-of-state opponent last weekend.
Kept the tarp on, right? Kept the tarp on?
Yeah, kept the tarp on. Had to bring that up, didn't you? the tarp is finally coming off, and they announced yesterday, though, that for Texas, the last game of the season, the last game at Floyd Casey Stadium, the tarp will be off, and it is completely sold out, so I'm happy about that.
Okay, that's impressive.
I don't know that it is. I mean, the tarp is there and it's coming off. That's good news, but I wouldn't go so far as to call it impressive.
Okay. Well, I can't help but notice there's some parallels, I think Baylor is a better team, but a few parallels between this Baylor team and the West Virginia team we saw last year that just, you know, dominated everybody offensively, but then they got the Big 12 play. Some weaknesses were exposed defensively, and things kind of fell apart. You know, why? What makes Baylor better than that team, do you think?
I think the difference between that team and the West Virginia team of 2012 and the Baylor team of 2013 is the defense. Mm-hmm. I think the defense for Baylor is a lot better than people give it credit for. If you look at the S&P Plus rankings, are you guys advanced stats guys?
Oh yeah,
a little bit.
So if you look at this week's S&P Plus rankings, Baylor's defense is ranked 38 overall, and I mean West Virginia last year had one of the worst defenses in the nation. I think maybe second to last, only to Baylor's. Mm-hmm. Baylor had a worse defense, and that was about it. at least at that point in the season. And this year you've got Baylor, yeah, they're 38 overall in S&P Plus, but you've got them in success rate. They're third in the breakdown. They're rushing S&P, they're second overall, they're 45th in passing. Their secondary is a concern, but their run defense is really solid. And so I think that's kind of what separates them from West Virginia from last year. But then again, you can also look at the offense and say that the offense, I mean, have we ever seen anything quite like this offense? Yeah. And I'm not trying to toot our own horn. I'm sitting back going, I'm kind of amazed by it myself. I didn't expect it. And I've seen, you know, I got to see RG3 in person and see last year. I was at the K-State game last year and see what that looked like. And this is even faster, even more efficient and deadly. I'm kind of running out of superlatives to describe it. And like, yeah, just the excitement level is at an all-time high. And, yeah, does that answer your question?
Yeah, and I mean, just the numbers. I mean, you guys are averaging, what, 770-some yards a game?
Yeah.
Like, it's like 150 yards more than Oregon.
Points per game.
Yeah.
It's, yeah. I mean, it's unheard of. And, I went to Baylor in 96, was my freshman year, the first year of the Big 12. And it just happened to coincide with the slide into oblivion that happened for the next 15 years. And so every once in a while, I just have to pinch myself when I see these numbers and I see what's happening in these games, and not even in the games, in the first half, in the first quarters of these games. And I just have to pinch myself and remind myself of where we've been and what Baylor did for 15 years. And I mean, they were talking that the team has outscored every team with the exception of two from the years 2000 through 2009, the entire season. What they've put up in 4 years has outscored all of those teams.
Yeah, no, I saw a tweet today that some guy said that Baylor's offense has outscored 250 of 345 Division I basketball teams from last season.
I had not seen that. That's hysterical.
Yeah.
That is crazy.
I mean, it is averaging a basketball-like score right now. Mm-hmm.
I have to ask you, Peter, you mentioned, you know, 2 years ago with RG3 and everybody in the Big 12, I would assume, because this was the thought with among most K-State fans I talked to at the time, thought that, oh yeah, they've got RG3 now, but once he's gone, they'll be back to being Baylor. And I have to ask, was that the thought there as well? And did you see this coming?
Honestly, yes. I did see it. I mean, I wasn't 100% positive. I wasn't completely confident that it was going to happen, but I had the idea that it would. Nick Florence was, he'd had some experience when RG3 went down with his torn ACL in 2009. He didn't do great, but he didn't have the caliber of offensive line that he had last year. He didn't have the proven wide receiver talent that he did in Tevin Reese, in Terrence Williams. He also, you know, then there was the potential of Lake Seastrunk and that explosiveness coming out of the backfield. Granted, at the beginning of the season, we didn't know what we had in him because he hadn't played a snap for us yet. But there was the idea that he could be great. And that didn't end up manifesting itself really until the Kansas game, and then really didn't flourish until K-State last year. Again, apologies.
I have no memory of
I drank a lot that night. I was alone. I drank a lot.
But yeah, I mean, I didn't imagine that we would return to being scrubby little Baylor, as Jim Rome said in 2011. I imagined that it would be better. I didn't think that it would be this. I never thought we could be what we're seeing today.
Yeah.
And, you know, granted, we don't really know what we're seeing yet. You know, yeah, West Virginia has, I mean, it beat Oklahoma State. We don't really know what Oklahoma State is, but they also lost to Maryland. You know, they got shellacked by Maryland. They you know, almost got beat by William and Mary. So you don't know what you have there. But still, what they're doing to these opponents that they should be blowing out is unprecedented.
Mm-hmm. And it really is. I mean, that word's gotten thrown around a lot, but it's truly unprecedented. I mean, even Bill Connolly has said on several occasions that this is completely unheard of. Yeah. So that's, you know, I don't even know why I'm bringing it up, but I just feel it should be mentioned.
Yeah. And real quick, yeah, last week
we had Bill Connolly on the podcast and talked with him, and he said that there are only so many ways to tell you that the numbers love Baylor, and it's true. It's fun to see them, you know, up at the top of the S&P Plus rankings. Not just in offense, but overall, it's really surreal for me. Yeah. You know, still, you know, not, I mean, getting from that perspective of everything that went on in the late 90s and early 2000s until Art Briles took over, and then seeing what we're doing now, I keep waiting for the other shoe to drop, and I really expected it to happen against, I was afraid that it would happen. I guess that's a better word. That it would happen against West Virginia, but it just didn't. Mm-hmm. And they just kept on rolling. So I have no idea what to expect from here on out, and I'm just enjoying the ride.
Yeah, and I mean, you talk about the quarterbacks, Nick Lawrence, RG3s, but I go back to Twitter. I think you probably saw the Art Briles tweet where three Baylor receivers led the respective NFL teams this past weekend in receiving yards. You know, how do you guys keep finding all these great receivers?
That's all Art Briles. He is a master recruiter. And I remember a story, or I actually remember when he was playing Texas in, I guess it was 2008, playing Texas with Colt McCoy. And they did an interview of Mack Brown talking about RG3 and Art Briles talking about Colt McCoy. And RG, you know, Mack Brown talked about the dynamic talent that RG3 is, blah, 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 and very, very general platitudes, coach speak for, you know, he's a great player, he's a good competitor, blah, blah, blah. And Briles talked about, well, I know his dad from this, and I know his coach in Jim Ned from this other thing, and we've been friends for 20 years and all this. And he literally knows every single coach in every single high school coach in Texas. And I kid you not, it feels like that at some points, because he has connections with those guys, and he has the ability to scout talent and find diamonds in the rough that get overlooked, like Terrence Williams, who was a two-star recruit coming into Baylor and exploded into a dynamic talent, is now playing with the Dallas Cowboys, and had a fantastic catch and run for a touchdown on Sunday, by the way. Yeah, I think for Briles, it's really his ability to recruit and his staff's ability to recruit dynamic talent. And I mean, we've got more coming in with, you know, Robbie Rhodes is a true freshman playing a little bit this year. He hadn't seen as many touches as we kind of thought he would when we found out that they weren't gonna redshirt him. That was a little bit surprising, but he's still amazingly fast. And we have the number one wide receiver in Texas being recruited or committed to Baylor in Katie Cannon. Wow. Out of Mount Pleasant. He should be really exciting to watch next year also. Or I guess if he plays next year, but in the future. So it's not he's got this cycle going where it's not a rebuilding, it's just a reloading sort of thing. And so you've got Tevin Reese, and all the questions about him moving from the inside to the outside have been answered. And then you have Antoine Goodley, who's stepped up in a significant way, in a way that I didn't even expect. I thought that our number two wide receiver would be Jay Lee, but it's been Antoine Goodley all the way. And he is a beast.
since it is a K-State podcast, let's try to steer it back to K-State a little bit.
Absolutely.
And, I just want to ask, have you watched any of the Wildcats this year, and have you is there anything in particular specifically that you're worried about scheme wise and that we actually present rather than just being in Manhattan?
Well, you know, I've gotten the chance to watch a little bit of it. I tried to watch some of the game. I recorded the game with Oklahoma State on Saturday, and I caught about half of it last night as I was, you know, I was trying to take notes on it, and I just ended up just falling asleep because I started a new job yesterday.
Bill Snyder football has that effect. It's okay.
Yeah, I actually started a new job yesterday, and so it was a really intense day. That's why I wasn't able to stay awake for it. And it's not K-State's fault. But honestly, the things that scare me, the unknown of going on the road for the first time, it scares me because you never know what you're going to get. Playing in Manhattan, and I actually was going to try and get to this game, try and go and see a game in Manhattan because I hear that it's one of the best college football environments in the Big 12. And I really was hoping to get to it, and I just couldn't make it happen this year. But I'm worried about that. And then, of course, Snyder. The Snyder Cat Vortex, we call it. He is a magician and always is able to pull something insane out of his hat that you weren't expecting.
Yeah, that's what Texas thought, too.
What?
That's what Texas thought, too, until this year.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's true. You guys had, what, a six-game winning streak against them?
Yeah, it was
something like that. We forget now because it doesn't matter anymore.
It's drowned it out, huh?
Yeah.
That sucks. Like, I seriously am, like, I would say that in my Big 12 cheering order, it's Baylor and then Kansas State. Like, I was thrilled that you guys got the Big 12 championship. I wasn't upset that Baylor beat y'all last year for, you know, to be the one regular season loss. But that being said, I was thrilled that you guys were able to pull down the title.
Yeah.
Even though Oklahoma tries to claim a share of it, which is crap.
Yeah, that rule is something I'll never agree with. But
it's something Bob Stoops didn't agree with until it applied to him.
Yeah, exactly.
Of course that's the case. So, but let me turn the question around on y'all. What do you think are the things that Baylor should be scared about, the things that Baylor fans should be thinking about going into this game?
I would have said our receivers, but, you know, now our top two receivers are kind of questionable for this Saturday. So that's a big concern with Tremaine Thompson and Tyler Lockett.
I saw Tyler Lockett go down. What do we know anything about that?
I haven't heard anything more. I mean, it looked like he pulled his hamstring or something. It didn't look good to me. Like, some people were saying it looked like a cramp. To me, it didn't look like a cramp. It looked like something worse.
No, it wasn't a cramp. If it was a cramp, he'd have been back.
Yeah. So that's frightening. And Thompson was just sick, though, right?
Yeah, so, I've heard mono. That's what I've heard from several sources, so I think that's what it was.
So but ideally he'll be
if
back.
If it's mono, he probably won't be back this week either. I'm not counting on it. As far as what I mean, I'm trying my best to be optimistic about this game, and I keep thinking that our time of possession was extremely improved last week, and that if there's anything that's going to beat Baylor, that's going to be it, keeping their offense off the field. But our defense looked extremely good, well, better than they have all year against the tempo of Oklahoma State. But I figured it up last week, and at least for the games last week, Baylor was still snapping the ball 2 seconds faster than Oklahoma State did on average per play. So, yeah, it was 19 seconds to 21, so that's pretty crazy. But, Snyder said in the press conference today that tempo didn't affect the defense, but that had to do with time of possession on offense as well. And if we can't hold on to the ball and turn it over five times like we did last week, that won't matter. So, and you guys are turnover machines. So, I mean, I can't see us, like, I think Last I saw, well, when the spread opened yesterday, it was 18, which was very surprising to me because I thought it, for sure, it was going to be bigger than that. And I don't even see us, I don't see us covering 18 at all. So
you don't think at home that an 18 point spread, that, see, that seems large to me.
Really?
Yeah.
I read somewhere. I don't know.
The part that got me wasn't so much the spread as the over-under. The over-under was 76, and I was like, geez, Baylor's probably going to put up 76 by themselves.
I mean, yeah, take the over.
Yeah, take the over on 76, absolutely. But especially since West Virginia put up 42, you know.
Yeah, the thing about that 42, though, is that 21 of it came in the fourth quarter against the second-team defense when the offense was basically saying, you know, let's do three dives up the middle, and if we get a first down, fantastic. If we don't, we'll kick the ball away, and we'll just run the clock. Yeah. It's all about getting out of there as much as possible, trying to get out of there and not have anybody injured. And then they had a pick six, and then they recovered an onside kick, which I hate the onside kick in garbage time. I probably wouldn't have hated it so much, you know, a decade ago, but still, like, come on now.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of the onside kick just overall. It very rarely works out to the advantage of the team that's attempting it. So it just seems odd. But, you know, Art has made me – I get the injuries thing, but it's made me very angry because several times this year they've sat at, like, close to 50 at halftime, and I'm thinking, yay, 100 points today. But no, he always doesn't go 100, and I'm thinking, boy, he's probably going to do it this week. And I'm going to be really sad.
So you're mad that he doesn't hang 100 on somebody, not that he's running up the score.
Yeah, I'm mad that he's not hanging 100 on people, because I totally would.
You know, I don't think it'll happen this week. I think you're going to be safe.
Do it to Texas.
That's the hope. That's my personal hope. And I don't think I speak for all of ODB when I say that. I think Mark and Prashant, my co-hosts on the podcast, they would disagree with me. They don't think that's going to happen, and they don't hope it happens. I personally do. I remember too many Texas beatdowns to not hope that. And I would like a little bit of revenge. And it's the final game final game in Floyd Casey Stadium before we move to the new stadium. And I would love to send the old dog out in style with a massive victory.
Well, what I would like to see is for Baylor to hang 100 on Texas and then step to the center of the field and grab a microphone and say, and by the way, I'm not taking your coaching job, and just dropping it.
Drop the mic. You realize that place, if he did that, that place would go berserk. Like, if they didn't rush the field before that, they would rush the field at that point.
Yeah. Do you think if Baylor goes undefeated and they crush Texas, and it's the last game of Floyd Casey, I was thinking about this today, do you think they'll rush the field?
You know, I hope not.
Yeah.
I can't say for certain that we wouldn't. I think it depends on what else is happening in the college football landscape. If we're playing for a possible, if we go undefeated, and if we destroy Texas, and we're playing for a possible berth in a national championship game, I could see it. I don't think all of those things necessarily are going to happen, and so I don't know if it, so that's the point, and that's the point that I would be okay with it happening. But other than that, I'm not really thrilled with it. I think you know I'm kind of a subscriber to the act like you've been there mentality.
Agreed.
And so I would prefer us not to rush the field, and I guess we'll see. Sure. I don't know. What's your take on that?
I'm with you on the act like you've been there. You know, I feel like shouldn't rush people. It's done too much, and it's kind of especially bad in basketball, rushing the court. I mean,
people
do that all the time now.
I mean, only if you're KU when you beat Louisiana Tech. I mean, that's the only reason you could ever rush the field.
Yeah. The one time I was okay with it, I wasn't thrilled with it when we rushed the field in 2011 against TCU. I was okay with it when we beat Oklahoma because it was the first time we ever beat Oklahoma. I was okay with it last year against K-State because it was the first time we ever beat a number one overall.
Mm-hmm.
But that's it.
We weren't thrilled with that one.
Yeah. Again. Sorry, guys. You're never going to have me back on the podcast.
No, it's totally fine.
One thing I wanted to go back to that you said earlier was talking about time of possession. And something that I found interesting and about time of possession and the traditional mindset on how to beat Baylor is keep the ball away from them by controlling the clock, controlling the ball, taking really long drives. The challenge that I've seen to that is exactly what happened with K-State last year when, you know, there was that drive that started with about a minute left in the third quarter and took almost half of the fourth quarter. And they marched, you know, 80 yards down the field or whatever it was to the goal line and then got stuffed on the goal line. And at that point, you know, about midway through that drive, I was in the stands and I was like, this game is going to be over because there's not enough pace to keep up.
Mm-hmm.
And if you get, that's the challenge, is that if you get a couple of, if Baylor gets a couple of quick scores, which, you know, they've done pretty much every week this year, it's hard to use that kind of a play keep away sort of mindset.
Yeah.
And how do you counteract that? What do you think the way to counteract that is?
I mean, we're just going to have to get lucky. And, I mean, if we've got a chance, and when I say we, I refer to K-State. I hate that I do that. I don't like the whole we thing. But
did you go to K-State?
Well, for a semester.
Well, and you work there.
Yes.
So, to me, that's enough to be we. Like, this isn't an NFL team where you're, you know, you have no real affiliation with them other than the fact that you're a fan. If you have some affiliation with them, if you went to school there or if, you know, you work there or something like that, you're entitled to call them we because you are a K-State Wildcat.
Yes, well, I appreciate that, Peter. Anyway, okay, if we have a chance to win this game, we're definitely going to have to do the unthinkable and force some turnovers and, you know, and get ahead on the scoreboard, you know. As stupid as that sounds, I mean, that's going to be a challenge early in the game.
The fact is, Bill Snyder teams are just never built to come from behind. You know, it just mm-hmm. doesn't happen, you know?
Yeah, so, we did it a lot in 2011, but that was with a whole different team than what we have now.
Yeah, and that was, let's be honest, that was with some luck. the turnovers you talked about. So.
Honestly, statistically, I mean, and TB mentioned this in his charting post last week, and I've even looked at it, and this is a lot like 2011, our team this year,
right.
But it's just
the
ball doesn't bounce our way, you know, and that's the biggest difference is the turnovers aren't in our favor, and the penalties are huge.
Yeah, it just takes one bounce, though, for it to turn around.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, like, you know, there in 2011, you had that, I still remember that Kendall Wright catch on 4th and 10 for the touchdown where he dragged his feet in the end zone and scored that amazing touchdown. And then just a couple of seconds later, you had RG3 fumbling the football at the 25-yard line or wherever it was and giving it up and, you know, getting the go-ahead score.
Yeah, and then the Arthur Brown interception. Let's not forget that.
See, okay, now it's your turn. You can do it.
I just had to throw that in. I thought it was funny that he did that to RG3 last year, or 2 years ago as his first interception, and then he did it to Geno Smith last year at West Virginia as well.
Yeah. That was nice. I was at that game. That was so much fun. Most of the Morgantown folks left at the end of the third quarter or so.
Was the game in Manhattan?
No, it was in Morgantown.
Oh, okay.
But they were super nice, actually. I got offered three different kinds of moonshine beforehand. It was great.
You know, we had some of the people on our Daily Bears went last year to Morgantown, and they said the same exact thing.
Did you get in touch with the SB Nation guys at West Virginia? Because I hung out with them at their tailgate. They were great.
Yeah.
The Smoking Musket guys. That's what it was.
They say that they're real friendly.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, they don't live up to their reputation as being crazy, insane fans.
Are any of your people coming to Manhattan this weekend?
Not that I'm aware of. Mark is the managing editor. He has a son that has I can't remember what the name of the disease is, but he has a post from last year that actually SB Nation featured it as one of the posts of the year. But that basically requires multiple nurses, full-time care. And so he doesn't get to attend many games in person. And Prashanth, the other editor, is in medical school, so he hadn't actually gotten to any games either. I'm the only one that goes to games on a regular basis, and I live just north of Houston, and Waco's about 2.5 hours for me. But I still try and make that drive, but I don't think anybody's going to get up there, at least from the staff. There may be a couple of readers that are going to try to.
So
it's a good time if you ever get a chance.
Yeah. I want to go back to something real quick. You said a while back, you were talking about the defense, kind of saying the run defense was the strength, the pass defense, maybe the weakness if there is one. And so it makes me think, you know, we've had this long, drawn-out, ugly quarterback debate where it seems like we've come to consensus that we're going to go with a running quarterback. So are we playing right into your hands by doing that?
Well, see, I can't say that for sure, but that's my gut feel for the game to start. It seems like Snyder prefers a ground and pound kind of an offense, which is unusual given the fact that he used to love to air it out back in the late 90s. Mm-hmm. But it's, you know, his scheme last year was the whole play keep away, try and control the clock.
Yeah.
And it played right into Baylor's hands. And because the thing is if you don't get those early turnovers, you're playing catch up the rest of the game, and it's just all she wrote from there.
Yeah.
Because Mark described it last week as the goal of Baylor's offense is to run and hide. It's you put up a bunch of points and then you just run and hide. Yeah. And you just score it. You keep scoring enough to keep the game out of reach. And that's kind of been what it's been. It's been this sort of shock and awe campaign of just put up ridiculous numbers at an incredibly quick clip in the first quarter and then just maintain that lead. And, you know, the second team has been able to do that. I got a little worried that West Virginia was going to have a backdoor cover on us last week, but we ended up holding it off with a late touchdown. So that was okay. But yeah, I think if I'm a K-State fan, I'm a little bit worried about that, about the fact that, a running quarterback and going to a very run-heavy scheme plays right into our hands. It plays right to our strength as a defense. And yeah, but there's a quick score, that quick strike of the offense. You know, you have to stop that at least once or twice to start and get scores of your own and force Baylor to kind of get nervous. Because, I mean, if you think about it, Petty's still a first-year starter, and he hasn't faced any serious adversity yet. If you could put him in a place where he's uncomfortable and he's facing some serious adversity, we don't know how he'll respond. Yeah. It's entirely possible that he will completely fold under that kind of pressure. You know, we don't know.
Yeah.
So I think that's the goal.
Yeah, that's one of my big hopes, is Snyder does have a history of when a quarterback has not been gotten to. His defense usually is the first one to really put pressure on him. Hence, RG3 and 11 and Jason White 2003, things like that. But
I think that's typically when there's more talent on defense. So
go ahead.
That's typically when there's more talent on the defense. That's what I'm worried about.
That's what I was gonna say. But the thing that gets me about Baylor's defense is that, Phil Bennett your defensive coordinator, was here for a very long time in the mid to late 90s. And
yeah,
one of the things I think that helped them last year beat us was the fact that he's so familiar with Snyder and with Snyder's game, because you say we used to air it out a lot, and that's a common thought, but really, yeah, we really didn't that much. I mean, we did a little bit more with Michael Bishop and El Roberson, mm-hmm, but other than that, it's really been a running team for as long as Snyder's been here.
Well, pre-Bishop, I mean, the Chad May years, there was a lot of passing.
Yeah, the early years with Chad May, I guess. But, you know, Phil Bennett, I mean, that offense is essentially the same thing scheme-wise as it's always been, so he knows it. And I was hoping that with Jake Waters we could change things up a little bit this year, but nope. Doesn't look like it's going to happen.
I actually love the story of that, of their relationship. I know they're really close, Phil Bennett and Snyder. I don't know if you remember from before the game last year, or maybe it was, you know, one of those bits that they do where they cut to the sideline report and they talked about their relationship and the fact that, you know, Bennett lost his family and was about to quit coaching, and it was Snyder that brought him back in and kept him in the coaching gig, and, you know.
So you're welcome.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much. Although, you know, there was a time where we were afraid that wasn't going to be that useful, because he was starting, you know, first half of last season, the defense wasn't clicking at all. And then right around the Kansas game, it started to come together.
Yeah. And
you saw it better. It was better in the Oklahoma game, but then it really just all came together for us in K-State, and then skyrocketed from there.
So you're welcome again.
Yeah. Again, thank you.
I don't know how close we are to wrapping it up here, but I want to ask before we go, I don't know about you, but personally, depending on how this week goes, of course I'm rooting for K-State to win, and I hope they do get the big upset, but if they do lose and Baylor wins, I'm going to be rooting for that Oregon-Baylor national championship. How ridiculous, from your perspective, would that be, and what do you think Baylor's chances against Oregon would be?
I think score all the points. Do you guys listen to the Solid Verbal podcast?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
They were saying on Sunday that a possible Baylor Oregon matchup would be set at an over under of like 96. And I would still take the over.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What I about easily take the over in that? Because the thing is that there is not a defense. I know that the argument is that Oregon would totally outplay us because their defense is better, but there's not a defense that scares me right now. Like, I look across, you know, I'm not scared by Alabama. I'm not scared by and maybe that's a bit of my ridiculous bravado coming out. But I just feel like this offense is so dynamic and has so many different weapons, and the offensive line, which, by the way, we haven't talked about at all, but I think is the unsung hero of the offense so far. The offensive line is incredible. It's just blowing people off the ball. And because of that, I think the only team that beats Baylor is themselves.
Yeah.
And so I think playing Oregon, it would be a wild shootout, because I don't think Baylor's defense could necessarily stop Oregon either. So take the over if that happens.
What about, I think maybe the overlooked part of that game is, what would the uniforms be like? You know, would we have to adjust our color settings on the TV?
Just hope that it doesn't happen in broad daylight, because the helmets might blind you.
All right, yeah, we probably should wrap this thing up pretty quick, but just kind of a final closing thought, you know, who in the Big 12 do you think has the best chance of stopping Baylor from winning it?
You know, at this point, I think my answer has to be Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. I know that I don't think their offense can keep up with Baylor's, but their defense has the potential to stop Baylor's defense, and that is what keeps me from saying that it would be anybody else. Maybe TCU, because we catch them at in Fort Worth. Maybe Oklahoma State, because we have them in Stillwater. And I'm not really scared of Oklahoma State per se. I'm more scared of Stillwater, because something always happens to us in Stillwater.
Stillwater is a weird place to play, but I'll tell you, from last week, and I watched the tape three times, J.W. Walsh is terrible. So you'll be okay.
And seeing, keeping tabs on that game throughout the day and just seeing how it ended up kind of gives me hope that maybe we'll break the Stillwater curse this year. I guess the answer to that is Oklahoma. But I still, at this point, Oklahoma is a game that I think Baylor wins. It's on a Thursday night. It's in Waco. I think the case is going to be rocking for that. Floyd Casey Stadium, is going to be rocking for it. And so I still think we win that game. But I think it's Oklahoma at this point that they can do it. But also, because the expectations are rising so much, as Baylor keeps winning, I get more and more nervous because all of the stuff from the past 15 years is sitting in the back of my head.
Yeah, I think we know that feeling pretty well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. Well, I think that ought to do it probably. Peter, thanks again for joining us. Really appreciate it.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Yeah.
You were great.
Appreciate it.